You know, our rules here are simple. If you believe in it, then you just come right along with us. We don't stop anybody from doing anything like that because the Bible says the person has to judge himself. Nobody else is doing it. So we judge ourselves, and we judge ourselves by the Word. And whether we're part of the line that is of God or the line that's not of God, that would be what makes that difference at that time. Now, just a couple of comments so we can get right into the service of the foot washing communion. In order that Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come to him, sup with him, and he with me. Now, this, of course, the Laodicean church age. Brother Branham agreed with other authors that Christ was outside the church knocking to get back in. Although he did not agree with many of the other things that those teachers said, because he wasn't able to agree on the grounds that God gave him a revelation otherwise. But Christ is definitely outside the church. Now what I'm looking at here is the door. And back in the days of the Exodus, they put the blood upon the doorposts and the lintel. And their security lay in the fact that the blood was there, and the death angel passing through, that's why they call it the Passover, was not able to touch the firstborn. Now you notice the firstborn brings you to the strict lineage of Christ, which is bride, which firstborn from amongst the dead puts you in the first resurrection, gives you the entitlement. Now, the firstborn did not die, which would signify that the firstborn, being the strength of his father, would perpetuate the race until there was a completion and they were settled in the homeland where they're supposed to be. Now, as long as they stayed behind that door where the blood was, they were safe and secure. And they're guaranteed passage through the Red Sea, where they're baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they went over to the promised land. They're on their way over, rather. There's a multitude did not go in, of course. They died, even though the blood was upon the doorpost. The wrath of God had been turned aside. And these people were just carriers for the future generations. Some of them died 23,000 in Baal Peor, and they never were forgiven. Under the 10 men who defied Joshua and Caleb, they wouldn't bleed. When they went in and took the fruit of the land, you know, and ate everything else, you know. And they taste the power of the good of the world to come, what God would be with them. They turned it down. And you got the same thing today, wherein people are talking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, and they don't realize, as Brother Branham taught us, which is so true, the blood of the bulls and goats couldn't come back upon the one that was sacrificing, but it prefigured Christ's coming, wherein his life would come back upon the people. Now, you notice there's no blood upon the doorpost here. But the one that wants to give life to the ones inside the church actually turned this one aside. And as Larkin said, Brother Branham, he couldn't get in. Now, at this particular time then, you find that the church has to come out. That is, the bride has to come out. So, again, it's not a matter of the blood. We do not underestimate the blood for 1 minute, because we take the emblems every single time we come together for this type of service. We do not denigrate it at all. But we know that this merely emblems. And what we see here is the one who is the light himself, has come down to open up communion with the bride. And Revelation 18 and 4 is identical to Matthew 25. There isn't any difference in the two of them. And in Matthew 25, you will notice the 10 virgins. The king of heaven will be likened unto virgins that took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, you notice that there are 5 wise and 5 foolish. Now, you cannot find any place in Scripture, to my knowledge, that you can go beyond wise and foolish virgins making up the kingdom. If Brother Branham said a virgin's a virgin, it's like you take a bolt of cloth, I think he said, and you lay it out and you cut a pattern. All cloth is the same cloth. You're just cutting one according to pattern, and that bride is cut in a pattern, but there's no difference. But you notice in here, at this particular time, though cut out of the same bolt, they were wise and foolish, and the foolish took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was made, behold the bridegroom. It doesn't say cometh, it says behold him. And it doesn't say go out, it says come out to meet him. Now, all the virgins arise, and they trim their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, the lamps don't have the oil in them, and there's no record that the wise and foolish virgin actually had different lamps. What I'm looking at here is they had the same word, but the word of one did not contain the life of the Holy Spirit to recognize the word of the hour. It just wasn't there. Now, it wasn't that they aren't virgin. They don't recognize it. And you know what they do? They become classified, according to Brother Branham, with the ungodly and the unjust and the wicked. And they're cast out into the darkness of the tribulation, along with the adulterers and the murmurers, the liars, the murderers, all of those people. It's only the bride that actually beholds him. Now, the wise answer is saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rab them and sell and buy for yourselves. Now, I look at this here, and maybe in a strange way, because it's a very strange little bit of Scripture. And I look at it, the idea here that you just don't give this message like a patch on an old garment. You can't mix it. Say, no, I can't do it. There's no way that I can give you a definitive revelation. The only thing I can do is tell you what's going on. Because, you see, they came out to behold him. They came out knowing something was going on. But there is no place that I find that they behold him. Now, it's evident that the wise behold him. See? Because while they're going off to denominations, Pentecost and all these things, getting what they think is the oil, getting anointing, what have you, the bridegroom actually is there. He is beheld. And they that were ready went in. Now, what was their readiness? It was the vessel that had the oil. Now, what did Brother Branham say was the conduit of the Holy Ghost? Word. See, these people here, even though foolish virgin, and virgin, now mind you, we're not going to fuss at them. They simply do not have what the wise have. Now it says, afterward, the foolish virgin wakes up. Remember, Brother Branham says the church is purged, Israel's, the Jews are purged, and the earth is purged. Now they're going to be purged. And they're saying, Lord, open to us. And he said, I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he is my wife any longer. Now remember, it was virgins that were betrothed at the time of Paul. See? And at that time they had the one pure word, even though they were just beginning to go off. So you understand at the end time, there will never be anybody but a virgin bride, and that's wise, that is going to have the word which they receive, because they have this place for the word, and the life in the Word, and Brother Brand said, piling word upon word, growing up in the stature, which they're doing, just the same as the church done all the ages. He said, I used to know you, but I don't anymore. Now watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. You're right back there to the Son of Man, which is always vindication. Before he spoke, he began to do. So, as we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, we remember that though the blood was shed, and we honor that because without the shedding of the blood, the life would not be released to come back upon us. As we do this, it would seem to me that it's good to remember that he who is our life is here. And proven that he is here categorically, there's no mistake about it, proven that he is here. And therefore, we know that the blood is fully effective. Now, you find that over there in the book of Hebrews. I read it many times, Jim. I hope I can find it. It's somewhere around the 10th chapter. I don't know, somewhere in there. When I want to find it, I can't find it. Maybe it's not far enough over here yet. Oh, yeah. It says here that verse 12, and I didn't go far enough in chapter 10. But this man in verse 12, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now watch, that's for this hour. That's 1 Corinthians 15. When God himself is putting everything under the feet of Jesus, bringing the church in order. For by one offering he hath perfected for everything that is sanctified. Now watch, Brother Branham said the blood perfects the bride, right? Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is a covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd and 4th chapter. So you see, nobody dishonors the blood when you believe this message. Brother Brown has said the blood's off the mercy seat. That doesn't make any difference. It wouldn't matter. The point is, the blood was shed. He also said the blood went back to the elements. See, what does... It's not looking at something technical and making this some rite or something we do, like a little wafer, a little wine or something. You're really looking at the fact that the one who died did not die in vain. But now the church, using the sacraments all the way, have come to the end time of where Christ is now expecting the enemies be made his footstool, and he's starting it by bringing the church in subjection to his headship. Standing at the door out there. He's not going to get back in. You got to come out. See? And isn't the Exodus, if you went out and left the blood, you were gone. But the blood is only an element. It's the life which you want. He is the life. Get to the life. And it said, behold him who is the life. And what did he say in Revelation? I am he that was dead and alive forevermore. How does he prove it? Brother Branham said it, days of the Son of Man. He said, if he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, he will do the same works before us as Gentiles, according to Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, as he did when he was here in the flesh. And I'll ask the question, who's here? What is he doing? See? Getting his people out. Now that's the message. Shout. What's the next thing? The voice. We're into the voice already because the message is over. See, Brother Brown, I'm going to go back and preach more. He's not going to do any different what he did when he's here. If he says anything, he's not going to say anything different. It's going to be added to what he said. That's what Jesus did. He should preach the things of the kingdom. I don't deny Brother Branham doing something. I don't know. Just don't ask me because he never told me. But parallel in Scripture. But the big thing is, we are looking at the fact that you're no longer staying in a house thinking you're under the blood. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Preaching Christ. Catholic Church preaches Christ. Well, they say he died for our sins. But Mary, his mother, she'll be the one that works on him. You watch now. We get to Mary. Now we got the son right by his nose. Pull him right along. like a bull with a ring in his nose. You ever seen a bull with a ring in his nose? You guys ain't farmers. Raise cattle. They put rings in their noses. That bull, he's wild as all get. He's stronger than a horse. But that center of the point right here, you get that ring, that he just goes like this after you. So now the Catholic Church made Christ with a bull with a ring in his nose. We'll lead him around. Mary's going to take care of him. What good does it do to take communion? What good does it do to talk about the Lord having died? Don't you understand what I'm saying? Look, you have got to come to the definitive. The definitive is vindicated word. Tonight, we eat and drink to vindication. Or otherwise, why bother? If Christ be not risen, if these aren't the days of the Son of Man, if this is not come on, behold the bridegroom, hey, get back under the blood somewhere. Bulls and goats or something. No. We're looking at the one who has brought us life, and he's going to bring us now immortality. That's the next step. For us, the dead, they're waiting to get back. They're not happy where they are in the ultimate sense. How'd you like to be someplace nice like where they are? So, oh boy, if I could just get there. You'd be beating to come back to something different. Right? Do you realize that? Come on. You don't, do you? But do you believe it? I'm not saying realize it as though, hey, I got it in my hand. Yeah. Got it in my heart. But do you know that that is the truth? We are resting on that. The only rest they've got is what Paul said, to get him back here. And they want to come back. I said, man, who'd want to come back here? A bride wants to come back here. Bride mentality, brother, sister, goes all the way with the word. You know what? If you're a real bride tonight, you don't even want to go where they're at. Hey, Lord, I'm going to be standing right here. Not that it's bad, nothing wrong with it, not at all. Not at all. But he's risen with healing in his wings. That's what we're doing tonight. We understand about the blood and the life that came to you. We're not looking just at something that's a historical event, something that God did, and that's sort of it. No, we're looking at something far beyond, in my understanding, of what most people look at. Let's look at that tonight. Let's rise and eat at this time. And the brethren come forward. And we just follow the service as usual. We have two lines come up here all the time. Are they up here yet? Oh, good. And for foot washer, remember, brethren, we got chairs in the back here. There'd be 8 chairs that can take care of 16 people at one time. The chairs will be brought down here. I think there's 8 up there for there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Then, Heavenly Father, we look to you at the time of the consecration of these elements, Lord, which we know one is concerning the broken body, which you said, eat, do this because it's the body broken for you, the food we know is the word at the end time broken for us, emblematic, but there was a body broken. And then the shed blood signifying the life that went, for the life is in the blood. The life that was shed, Lord, shed not in vain, not simply as a symbol, not as a historical event, but today is a living reality. We pray, Lord, this shall never escape us. Let this not ever degenerate into a service where there's not reality. Help us, Lord, to that end, because this is what our whole life is crying about. When does reality come? And we know reality is here because it's in you, because you said, I am the reality. You are that reality. We thank you for your presence now. Be with us as we partake. Go with us as we go. Building us up in the most holy faith, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday then in October. We could have it the last Sunday in September, but I think it'll work better to have it the first Sunday, which I think is the 7th. And then I think it's the 4th for November. That makes things work out very well. Shall we rise and be dismissed at this time? Father, again, we want to praise you for your love and your goodness to us, Lord. We appreciate the fact you've really brought us here and you've kept us in reasonably good health, Father. We can still get around, try to serve you. That's the main thing, Lord. We'd love to serve you better and be more efficacious. We all would. We pray, O God, that that sweet spirit will help us as that word abide in us to become more word manifested. And so we commend ourselves to you again tonight. We pray for good night's rest, safety for those going to the various places of abode. May they have a real rest with the love of God abiding in their hearts by the Holy Ghost through the Word. Come back to more, Lord, of the joy of the Lord in full participation and a greater endowment of faith and power, Lord, because of what is being consummated at this end time in their lives. Lord, we're looking for transformation, transfiguration to get out of here, and we believe it's going on now. We believe we're into the second phase, Lord, even the resurrection. So many things happening, Father, time spiraling to eternity. And here we are part of this great, great time. May we be aware of it, Lord, and really appreciate of it, sincere and kind in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. This evening to celebrate communion. Remember, I think it was the last time we looked over there in the book of Hebrews. Just going back to Hebrews a second here. We look at the fact where in the 10th chapter, Paul is speaking concerning the fact of the impossibility of the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Wherefore, in the 5th verse, he says, he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Now, you'll notice in there, however, that it doesn't say that the blood wouldn't be shed. It says here, in the blood of bulls and goats, it didn't work. Why not? Because as Brother Branham said, the life could not come back upon us because it wasn't, we're not bull life, we're not sheep life, and we're not dove life, we're not animal life, period. Although we're a mammal, we're the highest order, positively it's not the same blood. You give a person the blood of some animal without doing something about it, you just die, it'll kill you. I'm not saying you couldn't do something about it, the same as you can get prenatal cells, and the doctors will try to lie to you and tell you those prenatal cells, if you need maybe something for your kidneys, you give a shot, and they will not go to your kidneys. The fact of the matter is they radiated those cells and proven by the Geiger it absolutely goes there. And now the doctors are beginning to understand that, so they're treating disease by, with use L-Dopa with, Parkinson's, I guess it is. And now they take a bit and they put this tissue in the brain. And now they're worried about the abortions because pretty soon women will have abortions in order to get $5,000 or $10,000 for somebody that wants these cells, get some nice healthy cells. So, everything, it shows you that these doctors are a bunch of idiots. Like I was talking to Brother White today, and he gave me some very, very illuminating material to tell you about. He has a relative that was formerly a doctor. And so he read Dr. Mendelsohn books of how crooked doctors are and how able they are and how they charge for what they don't know and everything else. And so he phoned his friendly brother-in-law, I guess it wasn't. And he said, tell me, is this book right? He said, yeah, the book's right. Well, he said, that rate, my goodness me, he said, how do you tell a real doctor from a doctor's not a doctor? Well, he said, if he goes to you and he makes you better, he's a real doctor. If he doesn't do a thing for you, then he's not a real doctor. Well, he said, well, holy mackerel, man. He said, how many of the real ones are there? He's about 1%. 1% of doctors serve God. The other 99% are just in there messing around. That's for doctors. So these doctors here, what do they really know about many of these things? Nothing particular. And yet we know that we got x-rays absolutely proved to you. The man that studied with Dr. Neans. When he was operated on by Dr. Ramirez, he's a doctor that studied in Mexico City. He studied in Wake College. He studied in London University. He studied in Europe, I guess it is. I forget all the places. And he's a fellow of the Society of Orthopedic Surgeons in Frisco, very well recognized. Rebuilt Dr. Kuno's leg that two other orthopedic surgeons completely messed up. And so Kuno said, I want shots of cartilage cells in my knee because the cartilage is all gone. Whoops. So anyway, this doctor here, he just went ahead and said, well, if you say so. He didn't have a thing to do with cellular therapy, so he gives Dr. Kuno the shots. In 6 months, he takes it a peeper and looks in between the kneecap and the ball, and there's a nice layer of cartilage. So he sold on it. Now here's a doctor that reads on I see that animal tissue works, cellular therapy works. Now, the point is what I'm trying to say is this. We are animal to an extent, but not animal life. So the life of the blood could not come back upon us. And if it did come back, what good it would do? So we're not saying here, hey, if it isn't blood that counts, it is blood that counts. And the blood had to be shed in order for the life to come back. Now watch what happens. Now listen in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What does that tell you? It tells you what John said. Let's go to John 3, 16. Now watch. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. For God sent in not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now how? How be saved? The shedding of the blood. And the life given. What good is the life just simply given? Well, it's got to come back upon the believer. The same life has got to come back. Now watch, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now it tells you right there that that if you haven't believed in the name, what is the name? Well, the name is the revealed word of God, but we just don't use that expression just because Brother Branham used it. We can use our own expressions also. And the fact is here, if you don't have some kind of revelation of this, that's why Peter said in baptism, repent and be baptized every one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be a revelation. That's a revelation in Matthew 16. Got to be a revelation. Now, it says, now watch. This is a condemnation. In spite of the fact there isn't any condemnation, there is condemnation. That light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, the point is this. What is light? Anything that makes manifest. And so it was made manifest that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. The light that was shed has come back at Pentecost. Because they saw what was happening. They knew that he was raised from the dead. Even today we know that he is raised from the dead. It's manifested. That's light. It's pointing you to something. It's telling you something. Now, but everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, let's get back here again to the book of Hebrews. Now it says, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking forward judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So it tells you right there, if you did shed the blood of the Lamb and you didn't believe, what good did it do you? So here were people, 2 million people roughly, that shed the blood of the Lamb, went through, were baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the cloud, and they died. Like dung. 23,000 in one day, and they never were forgiven at Baal Peor. Their name's right off the book of life. Gone. There never was forgiveness for them. Why? Because, you see, there wasn't a life to come back on them. There's no way. So you see what you're looking at here. How can anybody claim to be born again and turn down anything that manifests, which is light? We're right back to Brother Brand says. He said, he tells you flat, he said, they know better. And we get a Catholic tell us flat. What is a miracle for? To hit you right between the eyes and say, shut up and listen, I've got something to tell you. Now they tell you Christ is here in some form and he's going to point to the Virgin Mary. And how can anybody take communion and turn down the vindicated word of Almighty God? You can't do it. How can anybody really take communion and do him any good and not drink condemnation without believing every word the prophet said? You don't have to understand every word. My heaven, I don't understand every word, and I take sermon word by word and read it and discuss it with you. You ask me some questions now and say, hey, I don't know. Forget it. I can't tell you. I don't have a definitive. If you don't have the definitive, where are you going to go? So here it tells you right here. What good does it do if there's a sacrifice given, there's something standing there, but you don't have a revelation. You don't have the truth. How many million people right today out of over a billion people that maybe will take communion, wash, well, few would wash feet. We wash feet. But maybe out of close to maybe, say, let's say 600 million people maybe that actually have taken some sort of communion. Now, the point is they are taking it unto his death. Now, the point is, why did he die? He died for sin. But what good does that do? No more than the blood or a bull of a bull or goat, unless it can do something for you in your state. So the life comes back upon the believer. And how do you know the life came upon the believer? By believing the word. We say, I got the Bible, I believe. Hey, just a minute. My Bible says difference. It's got to be a definitive revelation. Now, what about it? Only at the end time is the definitive revelation 100% with the beginning. Now, God forgave what was in between because there's ignorance. He tells you right there they went off the word. But at the end time, when they came back, then is there any people who has a right to the table of the Lord except the bride at the end time? The answer is no. But who's to say? Who's to stop anybody? Who's to judge? Don't bother judging. Just say, Lord God, by your grace, I'm coming to the table, Lord, believing your word, live, die, sink, or swim. And if I was put to the test, Lord, I wouldn't know where to go and what to do. And I can't go anyplace else, even if they try to duplicate what your prophet did, because anything duplicated is, hold it. You never find that in the Bible. Any duplication is a phony. The only thing God ever says about that is first and last, nothing in between. I've always said, and I'll say it again, if I've got one board in the beginning, and the one end is oak and the other is oak, I know it's oak all the way through. Been God all the way through, just leave it with him. You don't have to answer for the Pentecostals. You don't have to answer for the Lutherans or the Wesleyans or anybody else. You just answer right today for yourself sitting here. Do I believe? Sure, I believe. Where would I go? See, I'm stuck. I wouldn't know where to go. I wouldn't know what to do. That's why we're going to kill you. Well, I hope you do it nicely. Not that I want to look pretty when I'm dead. But I want a quick, choo, you know. Well, see, what if they don't do it quick? Whew. He's got grace. He didn't bring us this far for nothing. If live, die, sink, or swim, you better ready to die. And after you die, you'll swim right across that river. Just like that. In fact, you won't have to swim. It'll carry you across. Talk about safe in the arms of Jesus. There never was an age like this age safe in the arms of Jesus. I can tell you that right now. So you see what the communion means? You're standing with him tonight. Honoring the fact that that spirit that's here one day, one time dwelt a human body and that blood was shed and that was the blood of God. The life that came back, the soul that went down is the soul that went up. Is the soul that came back is that same life. One day he'll stand, that one that was that body, Jesus, born of Mary, that son, that one that put aside his robes and came down. One day he'll stand in the midst of his great church, and he's not ashamed of any of us. Even though none of us ever lived the word, and he only, he's not going to say, well, I lived the word, and you people better kowtow. Oh, yes, I'm a great guy, and you ain't so good. He's not ashamed to call us brethren because we got one father. Doesn't say anything about having us fallen or anything else and been unfaithful, untrue. We're brethren because we got one source. If it took the blood to loose the life, then praise God. See, I don't understand that kind of, who says to understand? That's good enough to prove it. Never mind your sensibilities. Something in your heart tells you, hey, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Something in your heart tells you, look, that's right. Right? Let's rise this time. Heavenly Father, we come now at the time of the breaking of the bread. And we know, Lord, that you're going to help us to partake in such a manner as to build us up in the most holy faith and take us onward and upward. In your presence, Lord God, knowing your Spirit is here, Lord, and hoping even in greater measure by virtue of the word upon word and the open door of our hearts to say, Lord, come in and fill every part of our lives that you haven't filled. Beginning with the true faithfulness of revelation to your word. Going down deep within our souls until out of our souls comes a nature which affects our spirit. And it becomes manifest, Lord, that we are those living epistles. Why not, Lord? It doesn't matter about who we are, what we've done, anything else. It only matters, Lord, about your word. Help us to be submissive to it. And in great faith as we've never yet manifested. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Brethren, come forward right now so we can just pray over the elements. And partake, and then we have foot washing immediately afterward, which is wonderful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're going to now enter into this part of the service, the taking of these elements which represent your death, and we do show it forth until you come and take over this earth when we believe. At the table of the Lord, in the rapture, and even then down here, we can be partaking. We might even in the holy city, we don't know. But Lord God, at least we by ourselves are doing this in honor unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that it is not simply a sentiment and something we honor because a great thing was done, but Lord, of the reality that the light was loose to come back upon us. To bring reality to our lives, that we might know the reality is there through the word that has been revealed to us, which in this last hour, Lord, we don't have to guess. It's been vindicated. Now, Lord, take out of our hearts everything which is not right toward you in faith, wrong understanding, wrong conception, Father. And then the next thing is to take out wrong attitudes toward it, even though we are right, may it not be just mechanical. But may it be truly spiritual, doing something within us, Lord, really molding us into the sweetness and wonderment of Christ our Savior to manifest it, Lord. And if there's anything anyone has against us or we against anybody, Lord, we pray you forgive us at this time and help each one to just put it away, lest a root of bitterness come in and many people be affected, Lord, because we know if that happens at the table and we don't admit it and look to you for help and want help and begin seeking, Lord, to see it all. That each time it just gets rougher and rougher, Lord. We know that. It's just the same as when a bone begins to get, or hand or foot from lack of use begins to lose its strength. We know that it just sets in more and more. Forgive us tonight, Lord. May the healing balm of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lovely Lord, the one who is here, just cleanse our hearts and our minds at this point of all these things. So that we come, Lord, and go newer and deeper in Christ and freer of the spirit of man and the things of the flesh and more alive to the things of God until in this natural state we live that we are dead indeed unto sin but alive unto God. Help us tonight, Lord, every single one that partakes. We're asking you, Lord, that this sincerity and the truth strike us which we believe it is to bringing us into these deeper depths and higher heights. Unto thee we'll give the praise as we partake in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've all been a very fine, attentive audience and very helpful in your attitude tonight. Appreciate you very much. Love you. Of course, you know appreciation and respect is the greater portion of love. Most people don't realize that, but that's true. Nice to see John, Mary, and family. Good you made it. It's nice. Too bad you're so far away. Well, you're not far from the Lord. Maybe by yourself, but one day you'll have so much company you won't miss the bad times. So let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love, mercy, and grace, your kindness extended to us, especially those who are here tonight. We feel your presence. We feel their love and their kindness and goodness, which they've gotten from you, Lord. We appreciate that so much. May it increase. May they be increasingly more faithful to that word, Lord, that just hunger and thirst after it, Lord, and then to live by the life that comes from it, O God. Help us all in that respective way. We commend ourselves. As soon as we go home, may we have all safe journeys, a good sleep, Lord, and recovery of health tonight. Those that need your help, Father, we marvel at how you do help us in all the right places. Knowing of ourselves, we're nothing, but in you, Lord, we are something. And Jesus is not ashamed of us. We're all of one source. So unto thee we give the glory and honor, and bring us back together, Lord, to praise thee further. We will praise thee more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. This is a foot washing, communion, the Lord's Supper. And I appreciate all of you are here to be with us, because it's a commandment of God. I don't know that it's a commandment to be obeyed once a month. Brother Branham, looking at the book of Acts, said, Branham Tabernacle, you do wrong. Every time they came together, they broke the bread, significant. The broken body, drank the wine, significant of the life that was shed. Looking forward in a memorial to the day when we would do it with him again, which we believe is coming very, 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 very soon. So, all right, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. We read so much of that, and we'll just read it again, where Paul says in verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now, brother, sister, I want to ask you a question. Is there any one word of God that does not have life in it? Is there any one word of God that should not be believed and obeyed if it's possible to obey it? Is there any one word of God that's exalted above another word? Well, I don't think you can answer the question honestly tonight and say, well, yeah, sure, that's right. There certainly is one part exalted above another. How could that be? When the Bible already tells us we are the body of Christ and members in particular, and one is not exalted above another, each has its own particular function, and without one, the other would be rendered pretty well void. So you can't take away one word or add one word. And so therefore communion and foot washing is just as valid as baptism in water and baptism with the Holy Ghost. Otherwise there's something wrong somewhere. Because this is something that Paul received, and he tells us in Galatians, he said, I received it right from the Lord. He said, I didn't get this out of my mind. I didn't get it from anybody. He said, I got this right from God, face to face. And he said, I went to Jerusalem and checked up on it, and they couldn't tell me anything. In fact, he said, they that were supposed to be the highest authority didn't even know what I knew. But they had to admit I was right. There's no way they couldn't admit it. You come face to face with reality, and you're supposed to be real yourself. You know, I've never seen it too hard to believe it. I feed a few birds in my backyard. And I guess most of you do the same thing too. And I see the chickadees go with the chickadee, and the sparrows go with the sparrows, and the robin go with the sparrows. And I don't have any, and I know that the cardinals don't have any trouble recognizing a cardinal, a blue jay, a blue jay. So what's going on with the Christians? You know? Because you back there in the days, Paul and those men got together, they recognized, they said, hey, Paul's of God. Peter's of God. These things are of God. How'd they do it? They got together on the word. By the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll talk about that more as we go into this sermon of Brother Branham. Okay. Now he said, the same night when which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. Now notice the betrayals in there. Now notice that Jesus had to be betrayed. In other words, he was a scapegoat. Jesus had to die politically so that people would get their eyes off the politicians who were religious men, as though they were wrong. And the only way these religious politicians could justify themselves was by betraying Jesus and killing him. You think it's going to be any different in this hour? Come on. Who crucifies to themselves the Son of God afresh? A bunch of politicians out there. They're the church politicians. See? Brother Branham talked to a nice Methodist preacher. Remember him? That time he talked to him. And the Methodist preacher said, you know, he said, the only trouble with you, Brother Branham, he says, you go down to those Pentecostals, you know, the riffraff, the sewage, and what have you. Well, he said, brother, I'd be glad to leave them, he said, and come to your church. Well, he said, we couldn't do that, he said. Now, who's the sewage? Isn't that his cross dog in the manger? Remember Esau's favorite cross dog in the manger? He got in the manger where the hay was, and he couldn't eat the hay, but he wouldn't let the ox eat the hay. And the Bible talks about people like that in the gospel. They don't come in, won't let anybody else come in. And the thing is, when they get you in where they want you, they don't want to let you out. You know, when poor old Ned Iverson tried to quit the pedestrian church, they didn't have any way in their books how he could get out. Once they frocked you, they couldn't defrock you. So you see, once you're frocked, you start frolicking with whatever group you're frolicking with, and they ain't going to let your hands go. They don't even play crack the whip upon the ice where the last guy gets spun off into space. You ever play crack the whip on ice? Oh, man alive, you can get spun off and shoo-wee. If you're not careful, you can hit up. You go great, you know, flatten your face on a fence. How many times I've been smashed up? Not hurt, but, you know. Oh, they'll do it to you, but you're still going to, you know. They won't even do that and let you get away anyway. Now, he said here, these people here actually betrayed the Lord. Now, Brother Branham came on the scene and preached indictment. He knew what he was doing. Revelation. You know. And sermons like doing God a service apart from his will. Knowing the ones at the end time. He had heard a woman one day tell me flat. She said, Brother Branham's nothing but a hypocrite. That's what he means, nothing but a hypocrite. Well, she said, he used to bring me all the magazines he read, and I found his sermons in them. I never even answered her. Because I knew that no man living would ever preach anointed ones at the end time in the sermons William Branham preached. Because they cut their cotton-picking throats until they had 2 feet of blood over the whole earth. They'd have their own Armageddon. Blood to the horses' bridles. Can you believe anybody would tell me that? I can name you names. And I'm right before the white throne. Silly, you're going back to being mean. I thought you were going to be kind of nice tonight. I'm happy. I'm nice. I'm just telling you the truth. See, my mind goes into shock. How can people say things that are lies? Brazen lies. And against the prophet. See, Brother Bill, I don't know if that could be done. I'm telling you, it's been done. It's being done. And it's going to be done. Why? Because they're in competition. What's the competition? Over the souls of men based upon a certain understanding. Oh, man. Paul knew when he'd given thanks. How did he know? He wasn't there. Nobody told him. He gave thanks. He said, take it. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance. Took the cup. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do as you drink it. Often drink in remembrance of me. As oft you eat the bread, drink the cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Now look, you're looking at a price paid. The price was paid. Every time you take communion, you say, the price has been paid. I cannot pay another price. You can't pay the price of living it. The body is dead because of sin. You can't do it. I don't care how many resurrections you would make. You'd be resurrected 16 times in a row. You're still going to die. You'd have to die 16 times. Wouldn't matter. The body's dead because of sin. He paid the price. And when the price has been paid, you cannot pay it again. See? The price was paid. Now, what's he talking about? He said, Jesus himself said concerning this, I'm going to drink it anew. So what does it mean then? It means you're looking forward to the resurrection because the price is paid and therefore you're going to make it. So therefore the Spirit answers to the blood. If the blood has been absolutely applied, there's complete faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at the complete atonement he made, there is no way you being saved, you'll miss the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now Brother Branham revealed the true baptism, piling word upon word. You're looking, what are you looking at? You're looking at the church ages. You're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. The Holy Ghost ministry by the word. Bringing the people to complete headship. And with the last measure of the Holy Ghost, the last measure of the word's poured out, headship himself is here. What's he doing? bringing us the final word, getting us out of here. Let a man examine himself so he won't drink it unworthily. What would be the first unworthy thing in drinking the cup? Well, I think going out there and doing so-and-so and so-and-so. You're wrong. Those are the attributes of where you're wrong. There's only one sin, and that's unbelief. So how would a person have a right to communion outside of being full of the Holy Ghost, which is the only way you'd ever get the full revelation? And when you got the revelation, then you know you must have the Holy Ghost. Amen. How's a person going to believe the word the way Brother Branham laid it out here? We read it time after time from all these sermons. How are you going to do it? Communion means these things to us. It means, hey, I'm a part of His death. I'm a part of His resurrection. As I know in my heart and truly understand that He died for me, the price is paid, I am going to drink anew with Him. This is my testimony. I'm going to be in the resurrection in the millennium. I'm making a witness, just like water baptism is a witness. Not the putting away the filth of flesh. But of a good conscience toward God. This is a good conscience toward God also. I recognize the fact you died. I recognize the fact you rose. I'm going to be with you in the millennium. I'm getting up. Oh, yes, you're here now to raise me. You're here now to change me. Doesn't matter which way He does it. You know, I don't care how anybody earns his money, long as he gives it to me and I can spend it. So, Dad, I don't care if I die. It'd be not. You can have some of both sides in. But what is it, long as you rise? This is a testimony to what? To the resurrection. He purchased it. And that he died for all. And he liveth, he can't die anymore. And I'm attesting to the fact that he said, hey, I'm going to meet you there and have it with you. You can't do better than that. This is your testimony, isn't this? So don't eat and drink unworthily. Say, I'm not going to make it. I just hope so. Oh, I think it might be possible. It's the old song, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, rock of ages, left me, let me hide myself in thee. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure then? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, happy is the flower. Great. Well, I forget the actual word, but that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Remember, Mitch, the night you had to sing a song in the blood? In Chicago? You went out of tune that night, didn't you? Couldn't sing the other song. Too bad I made you do it. I prayed that this man would sing the song about the blood. I want to preach about the blood. He stuttered and stumbled around, so I'll sing another song. Is that right? And he sang on the blood, absolutely. And see, well, Baal must be a great man to do it. No, God's a great God to do it. I just wanted. I didn't know it would be done. I hope it would be done. See, you can have a spirit in the meeting. Have a spirit that Brother Branham said is in the song leader is different from the minister. But notice how they come right together. Oh, yes. That's nice, isn't it? Make you feel good, doesn't it? Yeah, makes you feel good. Yes, sir, they don't discern the Lord's body. How do you discern the Lord's body? Number one, by the word. We say, what do you mean? Where the carcass is, the eagles are get. Gives you the right to come. That's it. Let's rise. The brethren come forward right away. We'll start serving immediately. Let's bow our heads and ask God to sanctify these emblems and sanctify us all as one body, even as the time when the oil was poured over Aaron's head and his beard. It made all the hairs of his head and his beard one solid, right down the skirts, the whole body. You know it. Heavenly Fathers, we all come tonight. As many as are entitled, which are entitled, we believe, the majority, perhaps not tiny little children, but majority here, not every adult. Looking tonight, Lord, sanctify therefore these emblems in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and everyone partaking to the full truth of the revelation of this hour that we are a part of those who are going in and will be with you each one in that great hour of the millennium when we eat and drink anew of the kingdom. This is our testimony, Lord, tonight to the revealed word that has been brought to us, even as Brother Branham said, just think the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. And tonight we count ourselves a part of it and do signify and witness to it that in as we partake together. Make us one, O God, in a unity we have not hitherto known. We ask this only for your glory, Lord, and yet also we could say and do say, Lord, for our utmost good, because we really hunger and thirst after the depth of righteousness that lies herein. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, you all know how to come, so that's just fine. Our service tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock as usual. Of course, you'll have a little extra time for this one time in the year. Only to have it taken away next April. But so, set your clocks back. It's 20 past 8 according to what it's going to be tomorrow. And don't forget to come to church praying, believing. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your care of us this night, Lord, and knowing your care of this hour presages the care of the entire future, Lord, which is wonderful to know that they with us cannot be made perfect, and there's a perfection at the end time, Lord. Bride perfected by the blood, yet at the same time there's a perfection in the Word that must go with it, and we appreciate that. Help us, Lord, to apprehend everything we're apprehended for, Lord, and come forth either in the resurrection or come forth in mortality, knowing that the tree of life is already here in the midst. So, Father, we are thanking you for it now. Go with us as we go. We pray we might have a good night's rest. Be refreshed, Lord, and come back tomorrow with the zeal of God and the strength of God, the love of God in our hearts, Lord, to do service unto you by serving others and becoming more united with thee and with each other, walking in the light, Lord. As you're in the light, having fellowship with you and each other, Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us. This is what we desire, Lord. This is what we pray. Giving back to your own word for this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. In the book of John, and it's the gospel, of course, concerning the foot washing, the communion. Now, before the feast of the Passover, that's just before Jesus must die, fulfilling the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the first male, the one without spot, without blemish. Now, not some great big oxen, you know, big bullock. Not the dove, but the lamb shedding the blood, just like it was in simplicity at the time of the Exodus. Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now, of course, you're talking to the world, not just cosmos there. He's going to go off the earth, depart and leave the earth. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In other words, Jesus did not take time concerning himself and considering himself, but he took consideration for his own, which were in the world and were not leaving the world at that time. Having loved them, he did not cease to love them. In other words, he was absolutely willing to keep making self-sacrificial offerings of himself to the people and for the people. Supper having ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, there's no doubt, if we're going to follow this all the way through in parallel, which I don't know that I've got the right to do it, but I can sympathetically look at it in type. And since that one who we are talking about here in John 13 was in flesh, the same one is now here in spirit, in the form of spirit, in a pillar of fire. And he will have to leave the world one of these days. And, of course, he'll take us with him, because that spirit becomes incarnate to us at the wedding supper. But you can see what I'm looking at here is actually before Jesus left this earth, and consequently then before we leave this earth, there'll be a betrayal. Now, the betrayal, of course, is in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, where they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh, putting him to an open shame. But at the same time, you'll notice the pressure was absolutely upon the disciples that believed him. So you can see here, as far as I am concerned, I'm typing it now and saying there is absolutely and correctly a distinct parallel concerning Brother Branham saying the squeeze coming down. And you notice that's in the form of a betrayal. And you will notice more and more that we do not have any real problems outside of the people in this message. They don't give a hoot because we're just a bunch of idiots. And Brother Branham was a poor, benighted man because he's a Kentucky hillbilly. And the poor guy just didn't understand the Trinity, so you could see where it was all coming from, my dear, dear people. Oh, it's horrible. Didn't understand the Trinity. And so, therefore, all these things that came forth, you understand, the man had a great ministry, and because the ministry was too big for him, he was too big for his britches. And, of course, like everybody, he went poof. He thought that he was Elijah. Yeah. They don't care two bits about us. But there's sure war amongst the saints. As when Brother Coleman, preaching the thunders in New York, had all that trouble, Bob Brown said, there's certainly malice in Thunderland. It's true. Little sarcasm, but well taken. And I look at this and I realize that at this particular hour, that Christ has been betrayed. How many people really know that he is here? Do they know who is here? Do they know why he is here? And the answer keeps coming back, well, it's just a doctrine like serpent seed. Well, if the presence of God is a doctrine like serpent seed, I'm not even interested in it. Because what good does that do me? I want the doctrine of God and how to get out of here and get out of here with him, or I'm not interested in going. See, you know why? You know what happened when Elijah made the rapture? They said, hey, we better go see if God didn't dump him somewhere. That's right. Read your Bibles. Maybe he dumped him somewhere. Do you think I want to get partway and get dumped? Uh-uh. No. No, no, no. People, you see, think that... that this is not the beginning of the end. The actual resurrection is delayed. There's a lot of things that seem to need winding up. When they really don't, they're in a process. Just leave it with the vindicated God who vindicated himself to the prophet, then vindicated the prophet to us, whereby we know his word is vindicated. Now keep listening, because here's where I'm going. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he's come from God and went to God. Now remember, where is he now? Brother Branham said, and the souls that are now in prison, the one, the Lamb, came from off the mercy seat, approached the one upon the throne, which would be chapter 5 and verse 1 of Revelation, and took the book out of his hands, tore the seals off, gave it back, and climbed on the throne. See, now he says, behold, he said, I stand at the door and knock. And he's talking about his headship to the church, that he wants the bride to listen so that he can be their physical headship. And he said, I'm set down on my Father's throne, and I guarantee the same thing to you. Now he said, listen, he said, I've overcome. How did he overcome? That's the great prevailing question. And if you understand the Word of God, what I'm saying tonight, he overcame on the principle of what is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The mighty God himself came down with this message, putting the church in order. And Jesus Christ is prevailing because God's putting everything under his feet. And what's he doing for you and me? Allowing us to come under God and God to work it out for us. Now there's the rest of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Of I have overcome. See, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, they labor in vain. They watch in vain. He gives you this, he gives you that, except he operates it in his own word, in his own will. It's all in vain. You're a debtor. And Brother Brand said, I've got a little gift. I know how to get out of the way. Oh, God. That's one thing I admire about Brother Brand's gift. If I could have his gift and get out of the way. Hi-ya-ya, would I get out of the way? Yeah. People say, let go and let God. They haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Well, how do I know? Because they don't believe anything Brother Branham taught. Oh, come on. You can't get back there without the Pauline doctrine thoroughly revealed to you. From eternity to eternity. Sauer wrote a book about it. A great theologian. I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah. You and I see him. Yeah. Know him in the still small voice, the word. Now watch, he said. Going back. He rise from suffering, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girds himself. Pours water in the basin. Began to wash his disciples' feet. Wiping the towel he was girded with. And Simon Peter, in the very time of the betrayal, Jesus loving to the very end, and this is the end now, the same one here is loving us to the end. Yeah. The same Spirit of God in him that made him do this is here today, getting us ready, sanctifying us by the word, to take us across. Peter said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Well, he said, what I do, you don't know now, and you're after. And Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. I wouldn't allow that because I think that's far below your dignity. You talk about the appearing of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Well, that's way below the dignity of the Lord to come back in the days of the Son of Man. People are telling God how to be dignified. Remember how Brother Branham kept hitting that? About the dignity of all men. Such classical enunciation. Such marvelous theological discourses which are nothing but sheer perversion. Brother Branham could have been made a good imitator in Pygmalion. Little English guttersnipe lass who was learning to speak English so correctly. You know, the whole thing is just, it just stinks when you look at culture, at civilization, in the light of the word today. Brother Branham coming on the scene laughing at their amen. You know the word amen means amen? So let it be. Aren't there many Pentecostals said amen at the wrong places to Brother Branham? I'm sure I said a few myself in those days. But I'm glad I said it if I said it. I didn't know what he's saying. But I believe today we know what he's saying. So Peter here, below your dignity. See, he didn't understand. If I don't wash your feet, you're going to part with me. Now watch him swing right around. Not my feet only, but my head and my hands, everything, everything. Oh, he said, Peter, 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 Peter. You can be such a nut. Hey, why do you worry about the Bible from Genesis to Revelation when there's just a certain amount of Scripture that affects you here? Why are you trying to look everywhere, all around the world, all around the heavens, all around everything? Why cannot you focus on the reality? And what is the reality? My ministry is to declare that He is here. Oh, Lord, give me a full revelation of Zechariah, and a full revelation of Habakkuk, and a full revelation of Amos, and of Joel, and of this, and of that. He said, hold. What you need now, I'm giving you. Now, what are we talking about tonight in foot washing? Betrayal time. We're talking about the fact when you wash feet and I wash feet, we're saying, this is sufficient. What you gave us, Lord, is exactly right for this hour. This is that measure that Brother Branham spoke of, spiritual food in due season. This acknowledges your presence, your betrayal. You're crucified again. This acknowledges all of these things because this is the time when you are leaving this world again and we are leaving with you. Why do you think so few people wash feet and have any idea about it? Because to some it is simply a formula where they say, listen, if water baptism holds and communion holds, this holds. And that's good. And thank God they've got that much insight. I knew of old Baptist bunch of people in Canada. And they said, hey, don't tell me that God, the disciples, made mistakes. You baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they were Trinitarians. The old Eberhard bunch. If you remember them at all, I know. Too much way before your age, Pete. You got gray hair, too. I can't figure that one. Eberhard, yeah. Independent Baptist. Wonderful man of God, as far as he could go. Delved in prophecy, missed it a billion miles. But he could read the Bible, and the Bible said the apostles Baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way you go. So tonight, brother, sister, we are knowing by the washing of the water of the Word. We have clean path and clean feet. Because this is the hour the seals are open. And that which is clean is still clean, and that which is unclean will remain unclean. And that goes to the foolish virgin and everybody but a bride. So we'll take communion, supper, and foot washing. First of all, communion and foot washing shall we rise at this time. And the brethren come forward right away at this particular moment so we get everything lined up. I don't want to keep any longer. You got the emblems ready? Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your grace and goodness to show us these things, Lord, which you certainly do show us. Of ourselves, we would not know them, but we know them because of you and the way you do things, which you brought us an infallible word by vindicated prophet. And we appreciate that, Lord. God, help us to clear everything out of our hearts and minds now. But as the prophet said, we believe it. And that's all there is to it, because that's what there is to it. Now, these emblems, Lord, and the foot washing we commend to you tonight, may, Lord God, they be taken in a spirit of grace, humility, love, obedience, reverence, and spiritual revelation of thyself, your presence, our relationship. All of these things, Lord, which are here in this message, revealed and given by vindication, we give thee glory in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, then. Heavenly Father, we want you to receive honor and glory from our lives. We trust, Lord, that it somehow shall be accomplished. Your will be done in us, Lord, in order that your will be done on earth, even as is done in heaven. And we know that's going to take you to do it, Lord. And we're looking for the glorious processes which have begun. We'll continue through in the millennium, right up to the consummation of those ages, Lord, that you set before us. Be with us as we go home tonight. May we have safe delivery home, Lord, and a good night's rest to come back tomorrow. With joy renewed in our souls, Lord, a real accomplished faith, a life, a love, Lord, those things that are in your word for us, Father, coming forth in us. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.